It's all about who you know, and I know everyone.
If you play with me, I'm gonna drop you faster than Beyonce dropped Khalees off that song.
I wasn't expecting a pop culture specific. I mean, it is the Bay Renaissance. Can we call it that? Can we call it that?
I haven't stopped listening to it. I've listened to it 4 times today, straight through.
Okay, here's my problem.
Oh my God.
Ugh. Safe space. No, wait. No, this needs to be a safe space. Okay. This needs to be a safe space.
Okay.
Die for Beyonce, obviously. Mm-hmm. I am a human person. I am aware in this world.
Just
I love
tread lightly.
No. I'm treading so lightly. I have been in a weird spot mental health-wise.
Got it.
And I try to listen to it because there are 2 albums this summer that are very meaningful to me.
What are they?
Personally. Beyonce and Lizzo.
Okay.
And I tried with the I think what I realized was like, I'm not having the summer for this album. Like, I'm not happy enough, joyful enough. Like, I'm outside of my body. I'm not connected to myself enough to enjoy this. So I have listened to Lizzo's album multiple. Lizzo and I are like on the same page.
Gosh.
We see each other. I know.
That makes
and so I feel
much
so
sense
bad.
Because I listened to Lizzo's album and was like, that's cute. But Beyonce's, I'm like, yes.
No, I need it. Yes. Tell me.
I'm having that summer. It's a good summer.
It's the one of top 3 worst summers of my entire life. I can't take, like, Beyonce's joy is like so good. But I can't. I like literally don't know how to. I can't. I'm so disconnected. Versus Lizzo, where I'm just like, and she has like the way she's like, welcome back, and like
exactly.
The ending with like, you're special.
It's
and blah,
very
blah.
Uplifting.
Like, it's and I need it. I'm like Lizzo.
You know what?
I get that.
I'm not mad at you.
Safe space.
Okay, because some people have just told me they just don't like it because they don't think it's good. And like, I think that
I haven't been able to listen to that to it in full. I really try. I tried a couple times.
Listen,
do
you're
it.
Fine. You get a pass in my book. Like, mental health first. Like. But if you're just going to shit on it, then we'd have a
no,
problem.
No, I would never. I know myself, and yeah. I would never. I mean, it's literally Beyonce. She's one of the greatest artists
she
of all time.
One
but
of
like,
the greatest.
Is there a song? Because wait, Break My Soul,
yes.
I'm obsessed with.
So
I've
good.
Seen. I've listened to that multiple times.
Yes.
Is there another song from the? Maybe it's like I can't get past the first one. What should I do?
I mean, like. You just have to listen to that. I think just like you have to listen to the album as one whole thing first.
I know, I do.
Because like I have my favorite songs change like every day, every hour. And you're always like, damn, like that every song is just good. It flows right into each other. I mean, there's just some that speak to my soul, like Plastic on the Couch. She's talking about being in love and like all that jazz. And it transfers into this song called Virgo's Groove. And it's like the transition from Plastic on the Couch to Virgo's Groove. If you could like put that in a jar and sell it, that is exactly how I would describe my current life right now.
Oh,
the transition from Plastic and the Couch to Virgo's Groove. If you've listened to it, you know. And
and I don't know.
You really don't.
I really don't, but I'm working on it.
Listen,
anyway, you
keep
guys.
Keep on playing Special by Lizzo. Because you're special.
She's telling me I'm special, and I have to believe her. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 335, and I'm so excited to have one of my favorite people back on the People's Zoom Kiki Couch. You know him as Culture Programs Lead at Brex and co-host of the new podcast, Thoughts and Prayers, THOTS. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Daniel Stokes. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing better now that my Wi-Fi is working.
We had a little, listen, I would never bring it up. We had a little kerfuffle.
Even though your camera was frozen, I could just see the horror in your face because you were just like, oh my Lord.
I was honestly okay because I knew we weren't recording at that point. So I was just figuring to myself, what am I doing next with today since I have got the next hour free? Because It's bad and it's hard to listen. Maybe like a spare number of times did I record AG over satellite anything since we started. And then because of COVID, it's like you keep things flexible, some recordings in person, some over Zoom. But exactly. Like if that Wi-Fi, it's like I would never hear the end of it from, it's hard enough in these streets exactly. for people to enjoy free content, God forbid, that I would, I just felt the, I felt the DMs seep
into my, I felt the pressure. And like, you were like, do you know anyone? And I was like, no. And then I got off the computer and was like, oh my goodness, our mutual friend lives down the street from me. And I'm hanging out with that person. See, because even I felt the pressure because I was like, yeah. Oh my God, I've ruined her Monday.
You ruined it. You literally ruined it. You ruined it. And yet here we are making it fabulous.
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to lie. My current view is much better than the view of the wall in my apartment. So I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. It's a beautiful day out in New York. I just walked a couple blocks and was like living my best life. But I have to say that prior to us hopping on this Zoom, with a little bit of time that I have had available, I was able to do something I didn't think I was going to be able to do in time.
And what is that?
Which was listen, or rather watch a new episode of one of our mutual favorite shows that I would have delayed because I save it. There are certain shows, I never watch Housewives live. I always watch it at least the next morning. At least the next morning, if not with Beverly Hills, sometimes it's like a day later. Sometimes it's like a day and a half. Yeah, it's dragging. But there is a certain Bravo show that I strategically save, which means there might be like several weeks where I don't watch for emergency mental health purposes.
That's actually really smart.
Thank you. I'm a genius. And that show is Married to Medicine.
Oh, it's so good. How can you, like, it's so good. People who don't watch it, I feel so bad for them. I think Married to Medicine is Bravo's best show.
100%, no contest. I know a lot of people love Below Deck, and while I haven't watched any of the last season of Top Chef, I also think Top Chef delivers with narrative storytelling in a way that's genuinely prestige. But Married to Medicine, I mean, it hits the spot. What's your connection to it?
I just feel like out of all the shows, like I told someone this, I was like, Married to Medicine, you can't produce on that show anything false because everyone on there is so real. Like these women have been friends for so long. They've been connected for so long. That's why like when they're arguing, if you feel the passion, when like their marriages are having issues, they aren't shitting on each other. But like, I think everything comes from I care about you and I see you in a hurt position. And we don't want you to throw your marriage away. We don't want you to throw this friendship away. We're going to work on it. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But they will not, they will literally fight for these friendships, these relationships. And I think that is something that's so rare to see and so beautiful. I just love it.
I mean, I have to say, I have said this multiple times on Andy's Girls and on social, but the single most important, impactful prestige storytelling stakes emotional reunion moment of any show on Bravo was Simone and Cecil announcing they were filing for divorce, and because of an on-camera on-set intervention of the couples, the women with Simone, the men with Cecil saying, work this out. By the end of the reunion, they both said, we're going to hold off. We're going to put this on pause and we're going to try to make it work. Nothing has ever felt as deep and true as that. And exactly what you're saying about marriage, which I do want to get your thoughts on, like, there sometimes is an artificial nature in the presentation of a person's marriage.
Yes.
But I feel like the conversations that these couples have about marriage is so, it feels very, these feel like real marriages.
Which they are.
Sometimes Housewives does not.
It doesn't. And it's like, there's no glossing over things. And I think kind of if you think about Heavenly, who is chastised so many times for always discussing other people's marriages, but never her own. Like, people are going to call her out on that. They're like, well, you never talk about your marriage. And I think even in this most recent episode, she said, I'm not going to talk about my marriage around y'all because everybody talks about everybody. And if I don't want y'all to know my business, I'm not going to let you know my business. But if you let me know your business, I'm going to talk about it. Which kind of pisses me off with Contessa because I get the anger at Heavenly because Heavenly talked about her marriage in a negative light.
Yeah.
But we all saw the marriage and she didn't say anything that wasn't true. She didn't say anything that wasn't already on camera. And as someone who's using their platform to promote themselves, promote their business, Heavenly's talking about the show. So I think there has to be a conversation of like, hey, we get it. Like, we're on a show together. These things are already out there. Maybe there's a different approach to it, but I also don't feel that Contessa can hold that over Heavenly and be like, oh, you talking about, because I mean, Heavenly's always been Heavenly. Like, we can go back to her, like, she's always been like this. And so you can't get picky and choosy and be like, you were my friend. Were you, when you became her friend, you knew she was this type of person.
That is the difficulty. Like, with Contessa, she has revealed so much to us, and a lot of it has been really
hard to watch.
Scott is a difficult personality type.
Difficult.
Watching that marriage take place is, like, intense. But in Contessa's eyes, I think she's watching Heavenly make light. Maybe. Do you think that's what it is? Or be critical? Like, should Heavenly be allowed to talk about these marriages in a disparaging way, regardless of what these women are revealing of their lives?
But I feel like
in the terms of their friendship, not in terms of like allowed because of her being a reality show. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it crossing a boundary in your friendship?
I mean, like, if my friend was having relationship issues, I mean, like, it's so hard. It's hard because if my friend is having some issues, I may talk to another friend and be like, hey, you know, like, but I'm going to support him. But, like, just so you know, he ain't the one. But if you going to stay with him, I'm going to support you. But I may not like it. So I think it's very hard. I think it's hard because it's like they are on a show, but then, like, she's doing these things outside of the show on different platforms.
That's the thing.
But again, it's also, you're a public figure. And it's just like, you're going to get spoken about regardless of who you are or where you are. They do confessionals, being asked questions about these scenarios. So it's very, I haven't figured out where I stand on the situation.
I mean, I feel like you're getting right to the heart of the matter, though, with the difference between understanding that the environment of the show is discussing relationships, discussing each other's relationships in very vulnerable aspects, but Heavenly is doing this on her YouTube show or her social media, you know, like Instagram Lives, whatever it is.
To her own accord.
Like on her own time. Mm-hmm. In a way that is messy. We know Heavenly's messy, but it does feel, if I was Contessa, I would probably feel taken advantage of in some way because it doesn't seem to be coming from like the good place potentially would be if it was while they were at a dinner or something else being
discussing
filmed for the show.
Discussing as a group to like move forward. You think it's just messy to be messy, to get clicks and views. That's true. Oh, I just love Heavenly. She's so great.
I mean, Heavenly's one of those people who I love, but I also think I would lose my fucking mind over.
Oh, completely.
Because she's so, I don't know that Heavenly is able to take real responsibility because like, I just think it's like, this is the thing where it gets so, it's really difficult because I feel like these women really do all have an incredible connection.
Yeah.
But many fights at the end of the day on Housewives are really veiled arguments about the show itself.
Exactly.
And I feel like we're having this argument that's sort of about what are the limits within the construct of talking through Married to Medicine about each other's marriages versus using the fame that you've, you know, like the platform and fame that you've received from being on Married to Medicine and almost exploiting it.
Oh, I like that one. You better type that when Andy asks questions for the ring. No, I think that's, because I mean, Jackie's so wise because she's always she said multiple times like this is not how we do it, and I think she probably doesn't see the root of it, or she kind of does, but I feel like she also defends Heavenly a lot, so it's kind of like I think people were very shocked about that, but I think maybe that's what something Jackie has been kind of alluding to. Is like, what is the real reason for this? Because it's like, if you have this problem with Heavenly, everyone has all these issues, but she's been doing it for so long. We all, so like, what are the boundaries? What is, what? It's kind of like how they say on Housewives, like, no husband, no kids. Like, what are the boundaries in this dynamic of a group of where do we talk about each other when we're not filming? Like, do we make comments when, you know, the show's not in production? Like, what are, so I think maybe that's a, that probably is a conversation they need to have as a group, as a collective. And we say we keep our shit here or on Twitter, and then, or we just don't bring, or it's all hands are off or all bets. I don't know. And it's just free for all.
And I feel like with Anila and Toya, was it Anila? Anila and Toya that came up during the Halloween or like costume party, whatever it was, because Eugene was like, you're making fun of me while we're filming this TV show on camera. I felt like a lot of his frustration with Anila and her husband showing up in a costume that was poking fun of the fact that they were moving.
Again.
Surprise, after literally the last reunion set was a literal diorama of her newly completed house in her closet, and it's like, we're moving. Okay, cool. Like, go off. Like, phenomenal. Additional questions.
Right?
But, like, that was the question of, like, okay, even within the context and confines of the show, like, where is the respect here? Because Eugene seemed to feel humiliated.
He did. I think that's really what it was. And I mean, like, as a viewer, that was funny. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I loved it. I'm sorry. I'm obsessed with Eugene. Eugene is my favorite. No, I can't say that. Dr. Damon.
I love Damon.
One. I'm obsessed with, he's like one of my favorite husbands of any show of Bravo. I'm literally obsessed with, a marriage between he and I would never work, but I don't care. I love him as a person. He is like the kindest,
he is so sweetest. Sweet. He picks up, he sticks, deals with Heavenly, so he has to be.
He does, like, but Eugene is very, very close. I'm obsessed with Eugene.
I feel so bad for Eugene because I feel Toya does not respect that man's work ethic. But it's just like, I think that was the situation where even Damon was just like, so much stuff has happened between this group of people. If I responded to everything that was a diss or a dig, or like, we'd be arguing all day. And I think that was Damon kind of framing in like that question of like, we're in this environment, we know what it is, and I think we have to realize maybe it's not, you can't take everything personally, which I agree. You're on a freaking TV show. And it's like, I mean, and Eugene probably was embarrassed because you've moved 5 times in 9 years. How many of those were custom built houses that were your dream home? Again, we have questions because only one of you works in the house. But
that was a really expensive build. That last build was very expensive.
I honestly, her reasoning, she said everyone was making a profit off of their houses in her neighborhood. I was like, yeah, because they'd all been there for a while. You literally just built this house, and now you're renting another with an elevator? Ugh, I don't even get me started on Toya.
I'm literally obsessed with it. But when it comes to Contessa, I'm so glad we're talking about Married to Medicine. It deserves the time.
It's such a good show.
Guys, if you're not listening, I mean, if you're not watching, I hope you're listening. If you're not watching, I've had people ask me And feel free to tell me your thoughts. I've had people ask me, I haven't watched Married to Medicine. And we're talking OG, by the way, yeah. I watched the offshoot. But if you, I'm new to Married to Medicine, where do I start? I have said, and I don't say this about every Housewives franchise. Like, there are certain franchises where I think you don't necessarily need to start day one, although it's always helpful.
Exactly.
But Married to Medicine, I think you 100% have to start your
Definitely.
First season.
Because it's, you have to. There's so much.
Mariah.
The Mariah quad of it all. Oh, child. Like.
You can't skip it. You can't skip it.
The Mariah Toya fight at the pool. Like,
you can't skip it. You can't skip it. Dr. Greg, by the way, one of the most toxic husbands to grace our screens. Don't you dare. Don't you dare defend him.
I'm not defending him. I'm just saying, like, that was just another really sad situation to watch.
Yes.
A marriage crumble on TV.
Crumble.
But like, I don't know if he, I mean, I feel like in that moment when they did do that sit down together, I think they both probably grew a little bit from that, and it was probably difficult for both of them. But I just appreciate the fact that, like, no matter what, like, the men have always supported him and been there for him, and also with the women. Of like, it's a show called Married to Medicine, and I'm a single woman, and I still have this group of girlfriends who keeps me around, keeps me uplifted. I mean, even Bravo clearly made the mistake of demoting her last season when she was all up in the mix still. So
right. She deserves to be there.
My wasn't because I like Greg. My because it was just another like just they fought so dirty. And it was just like, oh my God. I mean, all these marriages, freaking Jackie and Curtis, like.
You guys, if you think that Michael and Ashley is a lot, Jackie and Curtis, for different reasons, but Jackie and Curtis and going through the infidelity.
What do you think? Why did she stay with him?
You know what? This is the thing that I love about Married to Medicine.
Yes.
Is that as a single person in a long-term relationship with my shoes, I genuinely learn so much about relationships. And I think what is so interesting and actually genuinely important and impactful to see is to see the decisions where couples come to the place where they're like, this isn't working out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And to also at the same time see couples who are working through infidelity.
Yes.
And both decide to stick it out and work through it. Because I think that is, everything is realistic. Everybody has their own boundaries, their own triggers. For one person, infidelity could be a deal breaker. We
exactly.
can't have a conversation. For another person, it could be, I mean, it's obviously a devastating moment, the trust alone. But I think that there's something so interesting and impactful in watching a couple who've had ups and downs navigating their relationship decide to really work on it, which means working on the infidelity, working on any kind of structural questions about the foundation of their relationship. I just have so much compassion for both of them to put in that work and seemingly come through it.
I think that's true. So
incredible. They're both very brave.
Very true.
They're both so brave,
wow.
honestly.
I remember when that news broke, I was devastated for Jackie.
I was so upset.
Because it was
so
like, upset. Really, Curtis? Really? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Like, Jackie's a baddie. Like,
She's very shady, but she's also
oh
an
my
angel.
Gosh, so shady.
She's actually extremely shady,
so
but
shady.
She's an angel.
I love it.
She's an angel.
She's classily angel. Shady. That's actually, it just comes back to this realness of this show. Because again, like, they are working hard. Like, they're not just fake going to couples therapy. They're not
No,
fake.
This is real shit.
Like, these people are, oh, that's, oh, this show's so good. I have to do a rewatch.
It's so good. I mean, like, I just did a rewatch recently of the Contessa Scott reunion, which I watched out of order. That had to be last season, right?
Yeah.
And I watched it out of order, which was a wild
Why did you do
choice.
That to yourself?
I don't know why I did. And it was a rewatch, so I was like, I kind of remember this. But just watching that process take part, because I think in all of these women, I see pieces of myself, and a lot of times in a lot of the men as well. Mm-hmm. And like the people who decide to move forward, sometimes I'm like, oh, don't do that. The people who are staying stagnant, I'm like, oh, that's tough. The people who decide to stick it out, yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness. And people who decide to break up, I'm like, I totally get, you know, like
yeah.
there, I feel like there, it's like the least, this is going to make no sense, but in many ways, even though they're very critical of each other, I feel like they, and they can be judgmental because we're all human people, but overall, I think that they're one of the least judgmental casts. I know that that might be a wild take, but I feel it.
I agree. Because
I feel like there's mutual respect.
Yeah, I agree. There's that mutual respect, and I think, and I always, you know, and I'm thinking about this, like, I wonder if, like, they've had conversations, like, as a cast, like, off camera to be like, we're not doing this fake shit. We're not doing this phony shit. Like, we're going to keep it real. And, like, I feel like they've kind of, in a sense, taken the ego and thrown it out.
Yes.
To shoot this show. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, when Heavenly and Contessa were fighting in her basement, like, I mean, those emotions were raw. Very raw. And I think they're both kind of her. I think Contessa is still hurting from the residue of Scott. I mean, they seem to be doing fine.
I'm making a face.
I personally find the personal trainer awkward AF. The scenes make me extremely uncomfortable. Yes, because it's just kind of like, ugh, I just feel like, why, like, what narrative are you trying to start? Like, these slightly awkward encounters with your personal trainer who's, like, touching you, and then your kids walk in, and it's like, what? Like,
see, I don't get that at all. Oh, I know that, like, maybe people are supposed to. I think it's, like, a very professional, he's telling her to eat egg whites. She's, like,
maybe I'm, you just know, awkward.
Chewing on champs. No, but that's, I mean, she herself says that, that it's an awkward moment for one of her kids to walk in on her with her trainer for, like, a second time, or that it's happened before.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Like, what are we supposed to think? Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I just think with Contessa, I mean, they're both honestly, to me, making really good points. And with Contessa, there is a part of me that thinks about what Heavenly was literally screaming during the during the brunch. But there was something to be said about the idea of, like, your anger is misplaced, mm-hmm. which I don't totally agree with, because I think Contessa has the right to be. But also, have we really worked through some of that anger at Scott? Have we really? And I know it's a process. It doesn't just begin and end. But, like, are we really in the
girl?
Are we really? Have we really done that work?
That's why I'm like, when they're like, things are going great, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, not to judge, but it's, I'm feeling like they're, from my perspective, I feel like Simone and Cecil, that was like a two season type of thing. Like,
yeah,
there was one season where things were just, and then like the next following season was when things mm-hmm. just were really bad. And mm-hmm. so I feel like with Scott and Contessa, last season was, I mean, honestly, watching Scott and Contessa was some of the most awkward and uncomfortable television to watch through. And I watched Beverly Hills, so that sang a lot. Like, so I just, as a viewer, I feel like Contessa's kind of acting out the wigs. I don't get the wigs.
Yeah, the wigs.
So I don't know. I'm very interested to see how this reunion goes, because there's a lot of emotions, and she is, I don't know if all the right emotions are being directed towards the right way, but I mean, I'm not going to say no to someone trying to work on their marriage. Because, you know, I think you should fight for those relationships, because relationships are hard.
You know what I realized today while I was watching?
What?
My top five, my housewife's top five, is like super incomplete, because I keep having a fight with myself of like whether or not I'm technically allowed to include Bethany, old Bethany, not like new TikTok Bethany. But like it's, I have not filled the entirety of the top five. And to me, the top five is like, who do you just like genuinely hashtag safe space, like you don't have to defend anything, just who do you enjoy? Like, it's not necessarily who's the best at Housewives. I don't know that I would put anybody from my top, or actually some of them would qualify, but like overall I don't think that's it. I just think it's like, who am I charmed by? Who do I have affection for? Like,
yes.
you can't argue someone else's top five. Everybody has the right to choose their own top five. And I realized today that my top five is Shan, for who I stan. Kyle, although we're having a difficult time, she is on pause, but she remains in my top five, and I don't have to defend that. I just, it is what it is. Kenya, who I have so much fucking affection for.
Yes.
I'm missing TBD, blank, like, line to be continued, to be filled in, because I truly don't know. And Dr. Simone, who is not even a fucking housewife, but who I love, even when she does stuff I don't agree, especially the men. I'm like, you're just so fucking charming and so smart and so funny and so quick that, like, literally she
was
in that
bath.
I can't hate her. Even when she was in that limo and she was like, Heavenly's not picking up for me. I laughed so hard because I was like, I fucking love you. Is there, I want to know who your top five is, and feel free to
mix universes
if you would like. Your housewife's top five, noting that if you want to throw somebody in there who's not a housewife, you are in a space in which you are more than welcome to do so.
Okay.
No pushback.
Basing this off of, like,
Affection.
And also, my affection is more so like, who am I gonna have a great time with? Who's gonna make me laugh?
Because I
just love to giggle. Like,
you do.
Let me.
You've got a great laugh.
Cackle ackle.
This is team cackle over here.
Phaedra.
Okay.
She's great. Can I say drunk Kenya?
Absolutely. Drunk Kenya is a light to this world.
Like, I am so happy for Kenya Moore that she's been able to show this side of her now.
Yes.
Because she is a hoot. She's hilarious. She always comes to play, and you can't shade her. Sonia Morgan. I feel like I'd have to have a Sonia Luann combo because I just think they're just such great people. And, like, as much as I am so annoyed with her right now, I know we would take an edible and drink some tequila and do the splits with Kyle Richards.
Listen, I know that people want her, or, like, they're like, they think that she's rest in peace for my top five. And honestly, like, I almost, as, like, a political choice, am saying she's on pause. She's still in my top five. It's just that I hate her right now, and I want her to be dragged and so uncomfortable at the reunion. She's absolutely still in my top five. I have a lot of love for her and the German Shepherds.
Do you think she's gonna get dragged at the reunion?
I don't. And I had this conversation with somebody earlier who I think thinks, understandably so, that, like, she's gonna get, and I just think this is a terrible comparison, and, like, apologies.
Go for it.
There is something to be said with that moment with Erica and Rinna and Mikey that felt to me very produced, where Erica was aware, I'm going to be in a little bit of hot water or whatever. It's going to be uncomfortable, but I know that these people are cheering for me and that they feel like I need to be held accountable, but it's very artificial and none of us, maybe we sort of believe it, maybe we don't, whatever. Like, it didn't feel to me like she was ever in a spot where she was being held accountable in any way.
True. I agree.
And I think there's parts of that might happen at the reunion, because I think everybody knows that, like, Kyle has been very valuable to the franchise. So when it comes to, like, the Andy direction of it, like, I don't know how many of those questions are really going to be tough for her. I could be wrong. I would like to see Sutton come for her. I would like to see Garcelle come for her. But because the majority of the cast isn't going to, I just don't know that it's going to happen. But I think she absolutely deserves to be in boiling hot water.
Yeah.
Boiling hot water.
It needs to be like an epic dragging. And I don't know. I like... When Andy tweeted, like, we're filming the reunion soon. I wrote, like, four questions. Garcelle and Sutton both responded to his tweet. Garcelle said, I have questions. I really want Garcelle to, like, just come for these women. And
so do I.
And, like, just put them in their place. I feel like this season has proven how valuable both Sutton and Garcelle have been to the Beverly Hills universe. As much as it has been so uncomfortable to watch, like, seeing Sutton go from a bumbling mess to face rolling to really sitting across from Lisa Rinna being like, no, that's not what you said. Like, you said fuck off. Like, like, just so ratchetly, so stupid, these people. And we're not even done with the season.
No, it's still 700. Can you believe we're, like, essentially just over halfway done? The season is never going to end. This is our punishment.
Like, we still, like, are we ending on the Aspen trip? Like...
There's I think like 8 episodes or something psycho left. Like, I don't think that that's the right number, but it's a wild.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes with this specific cast who are exhausting because, again, Erica deserved to be in boiling hot water. Rinna deserves to be in boiling hot water. We've already discussed Kyle. There's some shit that Dorit has done that I think is incredibly, incredibly uncool and awful. They all deserve to be dragged. But if it's like, this is the alliance as we know it, and they all know that they're in hot water, of course they're going to protect each other. They would do it anyway. But now they feel like, oh my God, I have to because I need this person to be quiet when it's my turn.
That's what I hate about them.
Yes, it makes the reunion to me, like, not already that it's a lost cause, but, like, it just makes me annoyed because I know that Sutton and Garcelle are going to give it their absolute all, and I feel like these other women are going to try to shoot them down. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions. Just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me, just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
Where do you think Crystal will fall in all of this?
I don't know. What I would love to see is Crystal take a beat and really say, like, I had this conversation with somebody earlier, but like when it comes to the Erica stuff, the like, I forget what the, do you remember what the line is that was so iconic in the midseason trailer of like, Crystal mentioned either the earrings or the orphans or something. Like,
yeah,
there's some
something
moment,
about the earrings, yeah.
Right, like there's some moment where Erica tries
that
to come for her.
Yet. My God.
I know, literally, welcome to 2022 versus to 2024. But there's some moment, and I just, because potentially anybody has the ethical higher ground when it comes to having conversations with Erica because of everything that we know, yeah. I would just like to see her be like, I know I am on the right side here, and not give a shit about whether this woman likes you.
Yes.
Like, I think what Sutton and Garcelle are doing right now is saying, like, I'm not trying to win you over or be your friend. It's actually high time that you give me basic respect.
Exactly.
And I don't know that we've seen that crisis point with Crystal of, like, I don't need to have you like, not to say that she's, like, insisting on this, but, like, I just think so much of Garcelle and Sutton, like, the idea that, like, you don't need to fight for this woman's friendship. You know what she is doing and mm-hmm. what she has done. Mm-hmm. There's a basic inhumanity there. And yet everyone gives Erica additional humanity sort of on her behalf.
My gosh, it is mind blowing how there's just so much hypocrisy. And my thing is, like, yeah. again, if this were Married to Medicine, mm-hmm. like, we go back to Toya and her and Eugene. I mean, how much do they owe the IRS?
Like 1.8. And if that's true, I need to watch less television. But I don't think that's right. I think it's a lot less.
I think it's between. I feel like it's between 1.5 and 2. I know it was a lot of fun.
I literally want to die if I just got that right. Keep talking. I'm gonna Google it real
Please
quick.
Please Google
and
it.
If I got that right, I'm going to literally crawl up into a ball and someone will teach me how to read a book.
But it was a situation where they were all discussing it. Like, we mentioned it. We mentioned it all. We talked about it. We weren't sugarcoating it. We weren't trying to say, oh, let's extend grace. No. We were saying, yo, Toya, Eugene, what the fuck are you doing? You're clearly living not within your means. You haven't paid your taxes. Like, and these people aren't doing that with Erica. They're just, I'm sorry, if my friend was married to somebody and potentially was, like, stealing millions of dollars from orphans and widows, we're gonna have to talk.
Yeah, we would have to talk about why you're still wearing your panther ring and the earrings.
When she showed, with Mauricio, she showed Mauricio the Cartier.
Yeah.
You should not ever leave your house with that ring. It is disgusting.
It's gloating. It's flaunting
disgusting.
Stolen money. Even if he gave it to you whenever and blah, blah, blah,
I don't care if you put Tom's wrinkly balls in your mouth for that ring.
No, I can't. Couldn't be me. Mostly because they weren't available. I don't know what I would have done for... I think the panther ring, by the way, is so atrociously horrible looking,
yeah.
but I don't know what I would do for Birkin. Okay, I was off by a literal zero. It was actually 170,000. I don't know what I was thinking with 1.8, but I think I saw like 1.... I think I saw 170 in my head and added a zero. So it was $170,000 was their IRS.
Okay.
Debt. That's an elevator, I guess. In your house or whatever.
Either way, we still talked about it. Everything.
Either way.
The affairs. I just want them to just really bring it, and just be authentic. Like, I'm tired of the overproducing. Like, Little Miss Kyle.
Yeah, and I also think, like, listen, Crystal said on Watch What Happens that Erica hasn't called her to apologize for the laxative stuff, which I think is insane and an indicator that this person truly doesn't give a shit.
Like, does not care.
Say that. Like, you don't care about our friendship. Why should I? Like, I deserve an apology. Exactly. I'm upset. Like, and I know, again, it's very easy for me to say this stuff as an outsider.
For Erica, of all people, to tell someone that they're a liability
is psychotic.
It's like, wait. I'm a liability? How many millions of dollars are you currently being sued for, of like stealing?
Right.
And like lying and pretending to be someone else in a bank?
I mean,
like, there needs to be a second documentary.
There very well could be. Because the thing is, like, she doesn't have to be accused of committing fraud herself to have benefited from Tom's. Exactly. I know there are a lot of pending lawsuits and a lot of different conversations, but the simple fact is that you were able to live a stunning multi-million dollar lifestyle that was afforded to you through stolen money. Like, there's no connecting that dot. And she's so protected by these other women who are also afraid of being in hot water that it's like, we're not getting anywhere here. And it can't always go back to Garcelle and Sutton because it's just not fair. It doesn't feel, not that Housewives always has to be fair, but this feels like especially inequitable, we'll pretend that works in this construct.
Yeah, go for
past. It. Like, it just doesn't, it's not lining up with exactly. Like,
because there's no point of having a reunion if people aren't going to be able to hold each other accountable, have those tough conversations, and be like, yeah, you did this wrong. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe the last episodes we'll see some shift, some dynamic changing. I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're going to get some intense moments, it seems, from the mid-season trailer.
Oh, my God, Kathy.
So I'm just like, I don't know. I'm nervous. This show puts me through the ringer. I love them, but they stress me the hell out.
I think that last season was so bananas that we all wanted them to start shooting immediately, myself 100% included, and they gave us all these episodes. And I think after this, the reunion films, they need to take a little break, reshuffle, major call, please God, and then pick up the cameras and get started. Don't go immediately. Like, this is not working right now. It's not.
If you had the powers that be to be like, pew, 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 what would you do for the next season of Beverly Hills casting-wise?
Here's the thing, is that we really do need to respect our villains. And there need to be people on here. I don't believe the whole, I don't agree with her, or even I don't like her, I hate her, she needs to go off the show. I do not feel that about the vast majority of Housewives.
Got it, agreed.
So I don't want to be like, get rid of the people I don't like. But I do think we've maybe, instead of saying get rid of like three people, I would say, I do think we need to move forward in a universe without Lisa Rinna.
Okay.
But I could understand how someone could say Erica and Lisa, or just Erica. Dorit, I don't know what's happening, but I really do enjoy her in many ways. But she could be part-time. I don't know.
I enjoy Dorit. I would love to see Dorit in a world without... Is it Rinna or Erica? I haven't decided.
It's one of the two. I think it has to be one of the two. I feel like Erica makes more sense.
Erica does make more sense.
To get rid of, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think because she just has so much negativity surrounding her, and it's like a never-ending road. And I think with her, it's like she says with her tagline, I have nothing to lose, and that makes me dangerous. So I just feel like Erica's in this kind of like, whatever, fuck it, I'm gonna just and do whatever I want. And it's like, she's just doing whatever she wants. She's not contributing She's just sitting in the corner, getting wasted, but then pointing the finger and being like, well, Sutton's a liability. What? You just went home, got wasted, and hit your head. That sounds like someone who's liable to do something stupid.
She's learning the wrong lessons.
Yes.
As an outsider, it feels like she's learning, like, the ways that the Tom stuff could humble a person. She's just internalizing all of the awful qualities of herself. And I said this to Damien the other day, but it's like her insides are made of bees. Like, literally, I don't even know.
Apology. It's all like, yes, well, I'm being accused of this and I'm just, my life is so hard. Like, I had to downsize my house and I can't buy real extensions. What? Like,
I mean, I don't begrudge her that. I don't even take away from the fact that I couldn't. She's under an enormous amount of stress. I'm not going to pretend that she's not. But I am going to say that when you're acting like a twat to people, it's insane that you're not held accountable for that. And then you question why someone is mistrusting or concerned about your behavior after you told their child to get the fuck out. Like, it's just, there's like a hello, you've always been a bad person, but you should be, where is the part here where having everything taken away from you, sure, it's like the emperor has no clothes because they were seized by the FBI, but like also like where is the part of you that's like, wow, oh my God, now I'm really brought back down to earth, so I'm gonna humble myself a little,
like, right? Like, I would have loved for her to, like, have moved into, like, a studio apartment. Like,
her house is gorgeous. That house is, what is it called? What is it called? Not a cottage. Definitely not a casita. What's the LA term for when you have, like, you're in, like, a one or two bedroom? I don't know. There's some fucking name for it.
Pied-a-terre?
No, that's
a guest house.
That's what Sutton probably owns in multiple countries. But, like, no, whatever the fuck she has, it's gorgeous.
It,
like,
has a pool, a backyard area.
Honestly, I would rather live there than where she and Tom used to live. That, like, crumbling, falling down with the weird chapel moment.
Yeah,
and, like,
that was weird. That house wasn't cute or chic.
No, it was not. Where footage. She's living now is, like, adorable. Also, it's, like, not inexpensive.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. How is she paying for this?
How's she paying for that? And Mikey and the assistant who also now does her glam. Like, and I know she's renting that house, but, like, I don't know. She makes a really great living on Housewives, but it doesn't. I'm very confused.
Ugh, that woman. Sell the earrings, Erica. Like,
wait, so who would you like to, what would you like to happen, dream situation?
In a perfect world, I would love to see Garcelle, Sutton, and someone else kind of on their side. I don't know if Crystal will ever find her gel with this group, and that's not to her fault. I just think that these women they have no empathy. And I think there's a different way to go about discussing someone and coming from, like, a genuine place. I don't think that has happened yet with a majority of the people in the cast. You know, I think, you know, even Sutton being like, the fact that we're talking about this, I do not like it. And that's my favorite thing about Sutton is that, like, she does not like to sit there and talk about people behind their back. And it's just like, if we're going to talk about it, let's say it to each other's face. Let's not be shady and do it in a confessional or do it when that person's not there. So I just don't know where that will go. I would love to see Dorit without Erica. But I need, like, Kyle and Renna to, like, get some type of fear put in them. To kind of, like...
That's a great way of putting it.
Like, maybe it's like a, you know, we're like, we get rid of Erica, Rena's demoted, and...
My concern about demoting Rena, and I know it's like we're supposed to want quality television, is that she will come at such a high, clown level. Hard. And not in a good way. I don't think they'll show. I think it'll just be manic.
You're right. Oh, damn.
I know, but I get it. I get the because listen, Lou had a phenomenal season as a friend of Marisol. I think is killing it in Miami as a friend of. But, like, with Rinna, I just don't. I just think we gotta retire the clown. We gotta retire the clown.
And that, I honestly think the reason why those women are friends with Rinna is because they're terrified of her, because they know she's a loose cannon. She will, because the guy I'm dating has been watching Beverly Hills. And so, like, I'm, like, slightly rewatching it. And, like, we were watching it the other day. And he was just like, I can't stand Lisa Rinna. And I was like, damn, this bitch is, like, it was when she asked Doreen, did she do coke in her bathroom? And my thing is, like, if you think about it, Rinna came kind of hard at Kim. Rinna has come very hard at Erica. Rinna has come very hard at Dorit. But now these people are all besties. I get it. People change. People grow. But this woman has brought, every show friend this woman has brought on the show, she's turned her back on and, like, shat on them on camera. So I personally feel like they are only friends with Rinna because they know if they are on her bad side, she is a liability.
Do you think that she's able to even, it's like weird to say it because I know that she's gonna do some shit later in the season, but like, do you think that she's able to bring it in that way? Because like, look at what she's doing with Sutton. I don't think she's being successful.
She's not
versus
being successful.
The way she used to be. She used to be successful.
I think before, again, there was like that fear.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think she thought she was going to be able to break down Sutton. Like, she broke down Denise and Eden or, like, you mean...
LOL.
Right? Waste of a housewife. or even, like, her friendship with Garcelle. Like, all these people that she has brought on her... Like, it's just... And then her friend Diana. Do you think she'll get another season?
I mean, tell me your thoughts.
I don't want to see her fucking little husband sing. Not that staged performance of her. Oh, I always forget when she's in the house. And I just start playing on the computer. Not computer. Piano. In a fedora.
Like, he has a great voice, but, like, what is even... I don't think she's... I think she's probably, maybe there are aspects of this that she's enjoying, but of being on Housewives.
Yeah.
But overall, it seems like she's doing this specifically for him, which one could argue is like almost sweet, except they're so fucking weird that I can't give that to her. But
do you think she's going to Kelsey Grammer him and like.
No, I don't know where this is headed, but I don't know. There's something to be said for like. Enjoying seeing a May-December romance that we typically almost always see with the person who's older in the relationship being a man and then the younger person being a woman. Like, where I see there's like a lot of like gender jokes thrown their way that maybe would be said for someone with like the opposing genders taking place. I'm sure that it was and it would be with other housewives marriages, but I think it feels a little bit different from them, but also their relationship to me is very odd.
It's very odd. It's giving like mom and son.
The way that she called him a little boy, where I was like, oh, you're being clumsy with your words, number one, but like also I don't know. I get what she's trying to say of like
you
his
do?
Energy. I think where she's like his energy. Shut the fuck up. His energy is like vibrant and like youthful, think. But like we're
just
not
saying
getting
he's energetic. Not he's like a little boy.
But you know what she loves to say about Jareed? I think she genuinely is clumsy with her words. I mean, so what do I think is going to happen with Diana? I honestly couldn't imagine a universe in which she would want to come back. I didn't think it would come down to like Bravo getting rid of her. I think she would be like, this was really fun. Bye.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I think it's going to depend on what happens with the actual people who matter first. Like the real housewives. Like,
the real. I feel like with Beverly Hills reunions, we're always so hopeful. Well, we want to be hopeful, but then there's just always some nonsense. I don't know. I'm hoping that, like, there's a breakthrough. Because, again, like, I know that they've seen what has happened with franchises like OC and New York when they just have let the same cast members run it for far too long and run it into the ground. And I just can't foresee Beverly Hills continuing to hold that, like, magnum status if they don't break up this. I mean, essentially, they still have the faux 5-4 Fox because Teddy Mellon boring cram.
Yeah, is doing her very best to support them.
Her very best to just make herself relevant and talk shit on her stupid little peas in a podcast.
I mean, can't we just fire her again? Couldn't Andy have her on Watch What Happens and be like, Teddy, you're not getting a diamond again, and I know that you haven't had one in a minute, but the viewers asked for this to happen. Is it so?
Just so you know, like, you're never gonna get diamond ever again.
But Kyle keeps pushing it, and I'm like, Kyle, we already are in a fight right now. You and my imagination, do not make this worse.
Like, do not add salt to the wound, Kyle Richards. Because if so, I want next season to be your last, and I want them to. I want this shit to sink like the Titanic.
I never want Kyle to leave, at least not for the near future. But I do want Kyle to be uncomfortable.
I want her to be uncomfortable. I want her to be extremely uncomfortable. I want her to be held to the fire, and I want it to be, again, I want it to be something that scares people a little bit.
Yeah, we need a different energy in BH, and Lord knows this cast isn't going to give it to us. But I do want to just get your thoughts, because I thought Atlanta delivered such a great episode last night. On your reaction to what we saw pan out.
I mean, Sonya, I just, she is, I really enjoyed her energy. I will say this, I would not make any changes to the Atlanta cast for next season. I would only add, maybe. Okay. I do not think Manyeta's working out as a friend.
I forget she's there. Exactly. I really do.
So I would maybe add, I would keep the entire existing cast, add one more full-time housewife, because I hate six full-time. I need at least seven. And then maybe another friend, and then go forward with that. Cause I think we're in a good place where Candy and Kenya have each other's backs. I mean, they are winning this season. I'm sorry. Candy and Kenya are winning this season.
Agreed.
Candy with the one-liners. Cause you know what, bitch, I'm worldwide. And Kenya is having so much fun just not having to be the villain. And I think for so long people, I think she was able to show that side of her in Girls Trip. And I think she was received so well. And I think that's why Cynthia was so mad, is I think because Cynthia came into the situation knowing more of the women than Kenya. And right. Kenya ended up being like the fun, exciting, non-bitchy one. And so they're doing great. I personally think that Marlo and Sheree are being very messy and hitting below the belt. But again, we kind of need that. We need this kind of conflict. Marlo's going to get dragged at the reunion by both Kenya and Candy. It's going to be lovely. But I think she'll be able to hold her own. And I think it'll be kind of a situation of her like, okay, maybe I don't need to play as hard next season, because I think she probably felt that pressure to deliver, coming from a friend of, a very famous friend of, to finally getting a peach. Drew is stupid, but like, she's funny. Like, but she doesn't mean to be. Like, the fact that she tore her Achilles after winning the race.
Honestly, it was one of the first cases of a housewife being like, this is a severe injury that exactly happened. And we're so used to see like Ramona being pushed in a wheelchair when she pretends to sprain something or she's just tired. So for her to say that she thought she tore her Achilles and then to have it actually be a torn Achilles was like shocking to me. I couldn't get over it. And also, as someone who broke my foot from standing up in high school, I tripped. My foot was asleep. I thought I could walk it off, and I broke my fucking foot. I had nothing but empathy for her, because she just went one step too far and literally, Achilles.
Which is so sad.
Oh my god!
But like, only Drew. But Sonya, I'm like, I don't know, this whole argument between Sonya and Kenya that's brewing. Like, do you think Sonya's trying too hard?
Sonya's one of those people where I'm like, listen, I know she's doing a little bit, but I also feel like that's the point of her job. Mm-hmm. And I think she's really enjoyable. Like, I think she's really endearing. So even when I don't agree with her about stuff, I like to see her on the cast. And I feel like that's maybe not the majority thought. I don't know. I hear a lot of critiques about her.
What's like that?
Which
what,
I get.
It's what you say. Like you have to like love your villains. Like you have to love the people that are causing conflict. I think.
Yeah.
The conflict that Sonya has caused has been from her being a flip flopper, being shady, and like I think that is that makes a great first season housewife. I think you know she's giving us the family. Her and her husband are having this conversation about a baby, but then she's also like being a shady individual to other people. So I think she's been able to, she's having a better first season than I think Marlo is.
What to do about, do you think?
The whole, the nephew thing is, it makes me uncomfortable. Like, why are you throwing out your nephews? That's weird.
It makes me, I feel like this is one of those things of like, housewives don't have often great ability or capacity for self-reflection, which is why they're on the show.
Yeah.
But the disconnect that she feels around why she's able to, like, in a group setting, feel like she can drag Ralph. And then when Candy's like, cool, but what about the obvious hypocrisy here? And she says that that's crossing a line. That to me is confusing.
Yeah,
and
it's very confusing.
Right? Like, and I didn't have a chance to watch What Happens that aired last night, but was filmed the day that I went to watch What Happens when I saw Crystal and Kathy, because we were in line, the audiences, and I get into this on the Patreon episode that I did about Watch What Happens, but we, you know, that's like, there's only, I think, at max, maybe 20 people in the audience at Watch What Happens. And so maybe half of us are already there in line waiting to like get checked in. And the doors open. This is, what night was that? I don't remember what night I went to Watch Happens, but like a couple days ago, the doors open, somebody walks out, and I'm immediately like, oh my God, it's Marlo. And it is Marlo holding a bouquet. And I say to the people near me, I've sort of blocked exactly, literally, I talked about this on Watch What Happens for 40 minutes and I don't remember at this point, but like, I say to, I think the person next to me, like, oh my God, and they don't know who she is. And I feel like it's like they didn't maybe recognize the back of her head as I immediately
did.
You're
like, that back of head is Marlo's.
I was like, it's literally Marlo Hampton. She's, I don't know, 10 feet from us, 15 feet from us. She's right there holding these big bouquets. And there's a moment where like the gorgeous, you know, fabulous private car pulls up. And there's a moment where she like turns to her side waiting for the people in line to go to Watch What Happens to acknowledge her. Nobody does. And I literally said, like, should we cheer? Like, shouldn't we be like, oh my God, Marlo? Like, even if you don't die for Marlo right now, it's like, it's fucking Marlo Hampton.
Exactly. Like, you have to, like, say something.
Like, hello, guys. Like, practice round for BravoCon. You're going to be cheering for people who you maybe don't like. That's part of the fun. And I was like, I feel like we should, like, celebrate her or something. And then just nothing happened. She waited a pause for us to
I would have screamed.
I know. I felt that. But I was like, I don't know. At that point, we were checking in whatever else. I was like, okay, I guess this isn't happening. And it happened so quickly. And I felt terrible because I was like, we need to celebrate. I mean, like, lift this woman up while she's dragging everybody else down. My God. Like, I know it doesn't make sense, but it also makes all the sense in the world.
I mean, these people give us entertainment. So we have to give them their props.
This is what I'm saying. Would there have been a world in which this would have gone better for her? Is she doing exactly the job that she was hired to do?
I think she's doing the job that she was hired to do, slightly less strategic than I think she needs to be, because I think she is coming off pressed by Kenya and Candy versus just like shady. Which I like Marlo. I think Marlo's funny. But it's like, why are you trying to pick a fight with Kenya and Candy? Like, it doesn't make sense. You're never going to win. I would personally never, ever want to get into an argument with Kenya Moore because she is the shade assassin. She was the villain on Housewives for so long that she could just read a bitch to filth and left. So Marlo might need to get some new edges after the reunion. Her, Kenya, and Candy coming after you, girl.
And Candy's not going to check out like she did on that bus. She's not going to be like, I don't need to talk to you. At the reunion, Candy is a smart businesswoman and is not going to let the opportunity. She's not going to be like, I'm just going to ignore this person. She's going to triple down and that's going to be tough.
Yeah. I feel like we haven't had like a really good like Housewives reunion in a while.
Oh, of any? Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm trying to think. I feel like When was the last reunion that came out?
Was New Jersey okay? I honestly don't remember.
I'm not like a huge fan of Jersey.
Oh, okay. Into it.
It's like, it's just too much of the same old, same old. Oh my God, Joe and Melissa hate Teresa. We've been doing this for 30 seasons. We get it. Give me a new fucking storyline.
Oh God, it's going to be a lot of that next season.
I know.
Buckle up, my friend. Listen, I need to have you back. We need to do a deeper dive on Atlanta.
We
need to do a deeper dive on BH, but I am so glad that we paid respect to, didn't mention Dubai, which is like the 15th episode in a row of, it just doesn't come up in conversation. So apologies to Dubai. Maybe I'll unpack it on a Patreon. I don't know. The last episode was pretty good, but you can't compare it.
I'm interested to see what they do with season two. I'll say that.
Yeah, and I'm truly looking, genuinely, no joke, I'm absolutely looking forward to the reunion. Because I feel like we've seen a lot of these women on social say a lot of things. Yeah. And I would be curious to see who is saying it to one another's face.
I'm manifesting that
yeah.
Sarah mm-hmm. will be the MVP.
Of the reunion?
Of the reunion.
Whoa, not what I thought you were going to
because
say.
Because I feel like during so many, I feel like that moment where they had that argument in the restaurant was, I think, probably her breaking point of trying to, like, be. And she's been being very, 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 very vocal on social media lately. So I think nerves were struck. I'm nervous to see how Ayan will do at the reunion because she's a wild card. Mm. I mean, her titties were out on Watch What Happens Live. Like,
were they?
Yes.
Wait, like literally? I don't remember if I saw it.
Yeah, well, it's one of my friends actually works on production there, and he was like texting me. He was like, "Did you see her nipple?" And I was just like, the camera kept going to black.
Oh,
he said, he was like, "Yeah, she came in looking like an Oscar and was."
Uh-oh.
But I've heard people say that they feel like she and Lisa are too, like, they've watched too much Housewives, they're too rehearsed. Mm. I feel like Stanbury probably will have some things to say to people at the reunion also.
I would love to see her come alive. I really would. She has it in her.
Is it
too much Sergio? We need less Sergio.
I do not want to see him next season.
I mean, we need to see her interact with the cast. We need to see interactions with the cast and not with her now husband. It's too much because it's coming at the expense of, like, the group dynamic.
Exactly.
It's too much.
And, like, there's a certain Caroline Stanbury that people expect.
Yeah, we're not seeing her yet.
She's distracted, so.
100%. Listen, speaking of distractions, so distracted talking to you. I could talk to you all goddamn day. So you're coming to the office next time, and we're doing a full sit down, and I'm here for it.
Like, when am I here full time? I'll send you my schedule for the next couple of months.
I know, you're always traveling. It's very upsetting. I'm very jealous. Listen, in the meantime, tell the AGs where they can follow you on social and a little bit about your new pod.
Yeah, so I started a podcast called Thoughts and Prayers with my bestie Mark. It's genuinely us sharing our thoughts, THOTS, and prayers for society, for the world. It's NSFW. I'm sorry if I offend you. It's not like in a mean way.
Oh.
Not like, I'm not saying like explicit like racial slurs, but like.
Oh my God.
I mean, we're gay, so we talk about a lot of gay stuff. But you can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or at our Instagram at girl. You better pray. That's GURLYABETTERPRAY. Because every other name was like taken, and it came with like some name with like numbers. And I said, no, we're just going to be like,
no,
girl,
we're not doing
you better
numbers.
Pray. So
we're not doing numbers. Extremely into that. Guys, you know what else I'm into? When you follow the Andy Scrolls Patreon, number one way to support the pod, you get exclusive bonus episodes, including that tea spilling for my trip to Watch What Happens, which is up now. And I'm also doing a Satchel Spectacular. You guys know Satchels of Gold, named in honor for Holiness Kelly Killoran, Ben Simone on Scary Island, are your thoughts thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things housewifery, Bravo, AG, and more. So DM them to me on Instagram with your first name and town, or if you'd like to be kept anon, you can also email them to andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And I'm going to put up a Satchel Spectacular on Patreon in the next couple days. So please let me know your thoughts and feels about what we discussed on this episode, what you're watching play out, and your reactions to all things Dubai, BH, Atlanta, Married to Med, and more, because I would love to feature and unpack them on a future Patreon ep. And again, follow me on social at Dame Galley. Daniel Stokes, thank you
so
much
for coming
back on AG.
Always fun.
A pleasure, a thrill. So good to see you. So glad I can see you thanks to working Wi-Fi. And on that note, guys, we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.